This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey everyone, Adam Ritz here. It's the Adam Ritz Show. We cover public affairs. We do it in style with a smile. And joining me with the biggest smile on the phone is Jay Baker. Hi, Jay. How's it going?
Adam, it is going so well. And we're entering our busy season for public affairs, the summer months, and it is exciting.
A lot of awareness going on and a lot of safety to talk about. I wanted to start with a fun story out of Ireland. I don't know if you saw the 200 Marilyn Monroe lookalikes that took a swim to raise money and awareness for women's cancer care in Dublin. Did you see this?
I did not, but it sounds like it's probably an event that you really have to see.
It is, and it's fun to see 200 Marilyn Monroes. I'm sure up close, if each of the 200 women were right in front of you, maybe they didn't exactly look like Marilyn Monroe. But you know what? From afar, from the news footage, all you need is a white dress and a blonde wig and a pair of sunglasses, and boom, you're Marilyn Monroe.
Absolutely. And it certainly is the cause that is the great positive here, because they did it for women's health, right?
Yeah, they raised almost $40,000 American money in this effort to, bring light and awareness to women's cancer care in Ireland. And it reminded me of a story we did recently with hundreds of Dolly Parton lookalikes. She's kind of easy to look like if all you need is a shirt and a wig, maybe, a plaid-colored shirt and a big blonde wig. We've seen the, what's her name, Mrs. Roper from Three's Company.
Yes.
We've seen the Mrs. Roper, I've seen, socially, I've seen Mrs. Roper bar crawls where people don't, this is not for charity, it's just for fun. But you can do a Mrs. Roper charity run or a dip in the ocean to raise money for charity. That's an easy one to do, because all you have to do is get a red curly wig and a muumuu, and boom, you're Mrs. Roper.
One of the great iconic characters in sitcom history.
Yes. And I'm totally getting off on a tangent here, but the woman that played Mrs. Roper in the late 70s, early 80s, when she was in her 60s or 70s. If you look her up on the internet, when she was a younger woman in the 1940s, she is like bombshell model.
Oh, yes.
So pinup model quality looks. You'd never think about Generation X listening to the show that knows who Mrs. Roper is would have never imagined that she was a bombshell pinup model in the 1940s. So anyway, getting back to the Marilyn Monroes in Dublin, congratulations, tip of the captain's hat. So glad you're out there making the world better and raising money for women's cancer care in Ireland.
That sounds great. Hey, this may cause an argument, but we do this just to sort of pass along some expert advice.
Bring
but
it
energy,
on.
Energy experts say that the best temperature to keep your thermostat this summer is, what would be your guess? These are energy experts.
Okay.
Best temp to keep your thermostat this summer is?
I'm going to say 72.
I would as well, because that's right around where we sort of keep our little abode. But according to the Department of Energy, they recommend that you set your thermostat for 78, which sounds a little warm to me. Maybe my age, but 78 seems a little toasty.
You know, these energy experts, they don't have any fun.
That's a great point. They just can't have fun.
They're at work today thinking of ways to save energy, save money, and make our lives miserable. So, of course, they're going to say 78. A couple of public affairs radio hosts both say 72. Let's split the middle and say 76.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, they are recommending that you keep your thermostat a little bit warmer than usual to avoid unnecessary energy costs. And also utility companies across the United States are recommending 76 to 78 as an ideal temperature to keep your house. They are also recommending that you vacuum the dust out of your vents. Now, that's a simple thing that you can do. Have you ever really taken a close look? How much dust? I'm not talking about the ducts in your house, but where air comes out of the vent gets pretty dusty there. You don't always notice it because sometimes you have to take the vent off to get the vacuum in there.
And it also depends on which way the slats are turned. Because if you can't really see into your vent, you're not going to see all that dust. If you if you got down underneath the vent and looked up into it, you would be appalled.
Yes, absolutely. So you don't have to be Martha Stewart about it, but it's not a bad idea to hit the vacuum up there, get the dust out of your vents, and weather stripping your house to keep the cool air from leaking out. I will tell you this. We do have a couple of older doors in our house, and I went out and got some weather stripping because, once again, we do this show, and voila, those doors are almost as good as new. So something relatively inexpensive. I think I spent a grand total of about $7, and the weather stripping actually had adhesive already on it, which, you know, the easier it is to do it right, the better for me.
You know, if you've got home improvement ideas that cost $7 and take less than 5 minutes to do, I'm all in.
Well, and especially if I can do it. You know, I don't have the best motor skills in the world. So I was kind of proud of myself.
You should be proud of yourself.
Absolutely. Hey, this is kind of cool. You hear about this every year, but it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But it's still an impressive social event. Farm Aid, it actually turns 40 this year, their 40th anniversary.
I'll be darned. I remember the first one. It's at the University of Illinois, right, in their football stadium. I don't know if it is anymore. That first one was.
Yeah. The first Farm Aid concert was held at Adam, you are brilliant for remembering that, right there in Champaign, Illinois. That was held September 22nd, 1985.
I think I'm a football fan, so I know the Illinois football fans, when they're having a bad year, when they're 0-11, they sit in that stadium and say, hey, you know, the first Farm Aid was here.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you know, it is kind of touted as a Midwest event. It does feature, again this year, Willie Nelson, Neil Young, John Mellencamp, Dave Matthews, Tim Reynolds are all going to be part of the headliners for the 40th anniversary edition of Farm Aid. The annual benefit concert this year will be held in Minneapolis the Huntington Bank Stadium. So it does, it's an organization that stands by the American farmer. And you remember John Mellencamp actually had kind of a very strong sentiment in his song Rain on the Scarecrow about the demise of the family farm. So, yeah, these guys are putting their money where their mouth is.
I think on the Farmers Rock playlist on Spotify, Rain on the Scarecrow is one of the top songs.
Yes. Well, we can always count on John Mellencamp. If there's something that's going wrong in our world, Mr. Cranky will write a really good song about it.
You know, Willie Nelson, isn't he about 94 years old now?
He is not a young man. I don't know if 94, but yeah, he's getting up there. And he seems to be kind of like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going.
He is at least 90. And just very impressive that he's still performing and touring, raising money. Now, I'm not going to knock on Willie here, but it's going to seem like I'm knocking on him. I did hear recently, just last week, he released a song with Steve Perry formerly of Journey. Mm-hmm. And it was a Willie Nelson, Steve Perry duet version of Faithfully.
Oh, wow.
The famous Journey song. And it is, how can I say that as nice as I possibly can, Jay? Let me say it this way. The original cannot be touched.
Few would argue.
The original cannot be touched. And when you hear this version, you might scratch your head and just say, why? Was that not a nice way to say it? I don't know if I got my point across, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, Willie has his own distinctive style. Absolutely. Well, yeah, when you take a famous song like that, you know, it doesn't always come out perfectly. You know that.
Thanks. It's a slower version, too. It's a slow ballad anyway. So you slow it down, take out the electric guitars, throw in Willie Nelson, and that's what you get. He's 92 years old, Jay, thanks to my crack staff of investigators here in the studio. Willie Nelson, 92 years of age, still performing on stage. That's very impressive.
That is impressive. It's an apocryphal story. I don't know if it's all true, but I will share with you that Jonathan Cain, the keyboard player for Journey, was one of the co-writers on the song Faithfully. And it was kind of a true story song about he came home after an extensive tour and found out that his wife was not as faithful as he would have liked. So I'm not laughing at that. But the story goes that when Jonathan Cain was asked about it later, he said, this was kind of proof that you shouldn't go on tour for years on end. Because at that time, Journey was so amazingly successful, they probably really didn't come home from many of those tours.
Oh, on the road months, if not years at a time.
And constantly.
Is this wrong to say I'm glad she cheated on him? Because I love that song.
Well, you know, if something positive comes out of it, sometimes you think, you know, we're richer for their marital woes.
I'm not cheering on their misery, but, you know, Mrs. Cain stays faithful. I don't have Faithfully to listen to. So
no.
Yeah.
Well, and Mrs. Cain was an artist by the name of Tawny Catane, who was kind of a famous person in her own right. I think she ended up in a bunch of music videos and some different things. We'll have to double check these stories. We're either telling the greatest rock stories ever, or we're telling you stuff that's pure malarkey.
It might be malarkey. I pride myself on being an 80s pop culture junkie, and I did not know. This is news to me if Tawny Catane was Jonathan Cain's wife. It's certainly possible, Jay. I know she...
That is what I'm going with right now, and I might get bumped out of the Jeopardy round later. We'll see.
I did know she married Tom Hanks. And they made a movie about it called Bachelor Party.
Yes. That's so true. Yeah.
But
and then somehow if we can link that into Bosom Buddies, this would be great. This would be the triumvirate, wouldn't it?
And she's referred to in a great pop punk song where they say, I'd like to dance on the hood of Whitesnake's car.
That's right.
I don't know if she actually dated David Coverdale from Whitesnake, but she was certainly in the Whitesnake video rolling around on the top of a green 1981 Jaguar.
Boy, I really miss the 80s, don't you?
And talk about getting off on a tangent. We were talking about Farm Aid, the 40th anniversary of Farm Aid. So Willie Nelson, Mellencamp, and more on stage raising money for farmers on the fourth decade anniversary of the event. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you can find tickets for this event. It'll be happening in September. And my new thing, because I'm reading this more and more, is check the secondary ticket market. So that is what you do for any event, Adam. You know that.
That's right.
It's the best way to get tickets. Hey, everyone argues about which city has the best pizza, but there is a surprising champion when you sort of look through the numbers. Traditionally, if you said, what city has the best pizza, you might get a New York or Chicago response. But according to pizza experts, and they know stuff, so why would they lie to us? They say that New Hampshire is America's top pizza state.
That is a surprise to me. Are there reasons? What's going on in New
Hampshire? Well, here's how they break it down. Now, New Hampshire, which is not a particularly large state, has just over 1,000 pizza restaurants. So it has 72.73 per 100,000 people. So for every 100,000 people in New Hampshire, they have 72 pizza places to go to.
Okay, so per capita, the most pizza parlors per population. So those pizzas might be terrible. We don't know.
We don't know. The study looks at pizzerias per person, Google searches for pizza, and average pizza prices. See, that's the other thing. When you do research, just the sheer number of Google searches for pizza in New Hampshire sets them head and shoulders above other states. So who knew there was such a demand for pizza in New Hampshire?
Now, I did know the pizza wars exist between New York and Chicago. Are you familiar with Detroit-style pizza?
I am, and it is pretty tasty.
It's pretty darn doughy. Isn't it like extra deep dish? It's like all dough, like three inches of dough.
Yeah, and that's based on because if you've ever tried to make it through a Detroit winter, you're going to need that kind of a pizza that really fortifies the pizza experience.
You need 3 inches of dough. Covering the inside of your stomach.
3 inches of dough.
Yeah.
hey, this was kind of interesting. Kansas, West Virginia, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and believe it or not, Indiana are considered big in the pizza world. You don't think necessarily of Indiana or West Virginia, for that matter, as being, you know, pizza meccas, but they are.
I think you hit on something with the winter. You know, it's hard to meal plan and cook, get to the store, buy groceries. You're not grilling outside, of course. So what's easier than getting online and ordering a pizza, especially when they deliver it to you?
Absolutely. In this survey, Kansas stands out for having some of the least expensive pizza. Their pizzas average just a little bit under $15 per large pizza pie.
All right, Kansas, doing it right. Let's bring these prices down.
Right.
I might vacation in Kansas just for the pizza.
Yeah, I have buddies that swear by Chicago deep dish. I'm going to just get them a Kansas City pizza and call it a day.
Do they put barbecue on the Kansas City pizza?
Adam, they will put
whatever you want. Whatever you want. For $15, you can have what you want.
You get that $15 out. They're all about making sure you get what you need. Now, here's an interesting phrase. Have you heard of chaos gardening?
Chaos gardening. No, but it sounds like something I could do.
Yeah, I think it kind of sounds like something that just about anybody can do. It's being billed as fun, easy, and without strict plans. Instead of neat rows, you scatter seeds like flowers, veggies, or herbs and let nature decide what grows.
That is fantastic. I love that idea.
I'm
totally going to do that.
It's kind of a lottery. It's popular with new gardeners because you don't need fancy tools or experience, just seeds and soil. Of interest, our library in our city actually has a seed bank where you can go and request different seeds for your gardening experience. So there's a limit to how much you can, quote, check out, but you can actually get seeds from your library. So this may be another experience where you take your kids to the library, they get seeds, and then you go do some chaos gardening.
just dig out some grass, make some soil-exposed dirt, chaos garden. The kids will love it. And in a few months, maybe some green beans, maybe a jalapeno pepper, some tomatoes. Who knows what's going to pop up?
You don't know. I mean, you're planting it all. I mean, you could get some great flowers. It helps the environment by supporting bees, birds, and healthy soil. It needs less water and care than regular lawns. But you should pick some native seeds, they say. Yeah, you know, because we've talked in the past about invasive plants. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of invasive plants at our house. We did not plant. They were already there when we moved in. But they're interesting in that they really do want to take over the world. I've heard them chatting amongst themselves. And yes, it can be a problem. So yes, get some native seeds when you do it. Also, check local rules, as some areas or HOAs won't allow messy gardens.
Okay.
They don't allow it.
Now, so I couldn't put this in my front yard, but I think I'm safe in my backyard.
You probably are. And if you have raised beds, you're kind of free to do whatever you want. Raised beds have become very popular of late.
Now, I chaos housekeep, but I have not chaos gardened. So I'm going to give
chaos gardening. It's a thing. So, yeah, it would be something fun to do with your kids. Start small. Loosen the soil, water lightly after planting. It's a low-stress way to make your yard colorful and eco-friendly. So we're always looking for something fun to do, and that's good for the environment.
I might try that. I do have some patches of dirt where the grass is not growing, and I might just go buy some seeds. Not even look at what's on the package. Just throw some seeds in the holes of grass and see what happens.
I think it would be fun. You know, have you ever swung through? It has to be kind of an old school hardware store, but there always is that section of the store that has seeds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's everything, like you said, from, you know, crazy cucumbers to heirloom tomatoes to, you know, I've never seen anybody grow a Venus flytrap. Now, I would like to see that.
That is definitely on the HOA's radar.
don't grow one of those. It eats other plants and humans.
And people.
Bill Gates says that he plans to give away virtually all his money within 20 years and that he will shut down the Gates Foundation by 2045.
Wow.
Now, you've heard undoubtedly of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Yes.
Post-divorce, it has become merely the Bill Gates or Gates Foundation. But heard an interesting story, had a fairly good friend who was an intern for one of the Bill Gates charities. And he said that at the foundation building that actually okays the grant money that's given out by the Gates Foundation, that they give away so much money that they have three printers, big commercial size printers in that building that run nonstop, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, just printing checks out. That is really how industrious the Gates Foundation has been.
All I'm asking for, Jay, is just one of those checks. I need to apply for a Bill Gates grant to support this public affairs radio show so that you and I can broadcast from the Bahamas.
Yes. Well, you know, you do have to hand it to Bill Gates. Bill Gates has been part of the same billionaire world that Warren Buffett has been part of. They are gentlemen that have had extremely good luck in the business or investing field. And they've also been pioneers in, quote, giving it all away. Mm-hmm. Gates says that he is just a tiny bit concerned how people will see him. As you and I know, he's been a bit of a lightning rod. I think there are some controversies. I'm not trying to drum that up about Bill Gates. He is not a universally loved person, but he said, I do not want to be a guy that when I die, people will just say, oh, he just died rich.
Well, I don't like him, and I would love him a lot more if he'd send me one of those checks.
He'd send me one of those checks. It all roads lead back to that. Look, I don't really like the gentleman, but I'd really like a check, if you could, please. Bill Gates, actually, go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
He could really win me over. if he's worried about being liked, I can help him out.
You all of a sudden you will join the fan club, is what you're saying.
I'll wear a Bill Gates T-shirt.
I will say it is kind of impressive that the Gates Foundation basically put the foundation together because they felt there were too many urgent problems. They didn't want to just hold on to resources. They wanted to spread them out. The Gates Foundation has given away over $100 billion since it was founded.
Whoa. Okay.
How about that?
That's worthy.
Well, like I said, yeah, those machines, like you said, those printers were a printing. Heck, I think even the Bill Gates Foundation had to get a foundation check for ink cartridges. That's how long that baby had been going. So anyway, so like him, maybe not like him so very much, Bill Gates, he plans to give it all away and close up the Gates Foundation in 2045.
All right, Bill. Nicely done. $100 billion. Love it.
Now, as you know, there's a bit of a controversy. How do we make America a little bit more healthy? So there's going to be, I think, some attention paid to processed foods. We're already paying some attention to petroleum-based food dyes. Adam, you probably know some of foods that you may totally love benefit visually by using some type of food dye to make them appear to be more palatable. Some of those food dyes might not be super good for you. You probably have heard that.
I have heard that. I don't know which ones I'm eating that have the food dye, and I don't know if and when they get rid of the food dye. And this delicious-looking food all of a sudden becomes the same color as dirt.
I know. It's fun. You know,
I'll put a blindfold on and still eat it.
What's Fruit Loops without, tasty Fruit Loop materials that are bright red and green?
A bowl full of gray Fruit Loops is still delicious.
It's still delicious. There is some concern about processed food, and so we will go back to a little bit more seriousness. Eating ultra-processed food every day could double your risk of getting Parkinson's disease. Mm. Parkinson's, of course, is the disease that is linked to Michael J. Fox, and he has spent a lot of time and effort to increase funding on Parkinson's disease. It is technically a disease that does not have a cure, and it does affect quite a few people. A new study shows that a dozen servings each day of foods like soda, hot dogs, ketchup, potato chips, and this is just me at breakfast, could speed up the disease's development. The study was published just recently in the Journal of Neurology.
A dozen servings of that quote-unquote junk food? That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. But sadly, there are people that live in what is called a food desert. Mm-hmm. And their outlet for food oftentimes are highly processed foods. And so that's the other element that they'll undoubtedly have to work on in helping to make America a bit healthier, is they'll probably have to address the issue that most communities have a lack of fresh foods.
Well, that's something to keep an eye on, Jay. I want to wrap up the show here and remind you your homework for this week is to search out the Willie Nelson, Steve Perry duet version of Faithfully and report back to me next week to see if you like that song.
I will give you a full report.
Same homework for all of our listeners. And if you'd like to hear any of our past shows, they're listed in podcast form on our website, which is adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.